You are listening to episode 13 of Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Nick Drake. I'm the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. Today's question is, why did Jesus have to die to save us? Why did he have to die so painfully? This is a great question, or a great two questions, and I think it's a very important question, especially the first part. To get to the heart of it, I want to start back at the beginning, and by that I mean the beginning of Scripture. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And each day, as you go through Genesis 1, each day during the creation account, God looked at what he had made, and he said that it was good, except on the last day when he said that it was very good. Sin hadn't yet entered the picture. Everything was perfect, as Genesis 1 and 2 make clear. There was no problem. There was no disruption in God's perfect created order. So what happened? Adam and Eve did the one thing that they were told not to do. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had told them not to eat from. They could eat anything they wanted, but just not from this one tree, and they disobeyed God. You ever get upset at Adam and Eve for something like that or for that specific thing? I have a child who likes to blame his frustrations and his problems in life on Adam and Eve. You know, if only Adam and Eve hadn't done what they did in the garden, this wouldn't be this way. But before we get too critical of Adam and Eve, we should realize that we probably would have done the same thing. You see, God didn't create gods. He didn't create robots. He created people. Yes, we are made in his image, but he gave us the ability to choose between right and wrong. He gave us the chance to choose to love or to choose to rebel. Romans 3:10 said, "There is no one righteous, not even one." Then we a little bit later in that chapter in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But we can look back that time at that in the Garden of Eden, and we can see that even then, God had a plan to rescue us. After Adam and Eve sinned, God said that someone would come from Eve that would crush the serpent, which we learn later in Scripture was the devil himself. And that is where the answer to the question comes in. Why did Jesus have to die to save us? Well, we've all sinned, and so we can't possibly even enter the presence of a perfect, holy God, let alone live with him for eternity. And Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So in order for our sins to be forgiven, blood had to be shed. In order for us to enter into God's presence, there must be forgiveness of sins, which only comes by the shedding of blood. 1 Peter chapter 3:18 provides a pretty good answer to the question. "Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. Jesus took our place." He died the death we deserve to die. He took the punishment we deserve to have for all of eternity. Galatians 1:4 says that, well, Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. You see, there's no plan B. There's no other rescue. There's no other option for us to be saved from our sins. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin, or in other words, the result, the penalty for our sin is death. And that's talking about eternal death. But, and here's the big important but in this verse, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Knowing that we would all sin and fall short of God's perfect standard, Jesus' death on the cross was God's plan all along. This wasn't his reaction. This was his plan, knowing that we could never be perfect and holy in order to enter his presence and live with him for eternity. So why did Jesus have to die so painfully was the other part of the question. If you know anything about Roman crucifixion, you know that there is no other imaginable way to die that is more horrifying, more humiliating, more shameful, more disgusting, more painful. It was so terrible that the word cross was a cuss word in the first century. It was despicable. Only the worst of the worst were crucified. Roman citizens couldn't even be crucified. All of that to say, yes, the cross was a horrible way to die. And Jesus did indeed die a painful death. But you know, I think sometimes we don't think about the fact that even more painful than the physical suffering was the weight of our sin on Jesus' shoulders. On the cross, Jesus cried out and he fulfilled Psalm 22:1 when he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, gives us an answer to that prophecy when it says Jesus or God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I mean, think about that for a second. Having taken on the sins of humankind, Jesus was rejected by God the Father. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We will never know such pain and suffering that the Father and the Son experienced on that day. Jesus had to die so painfully because our sin is so horrible and the cost is so high. And yet the good news is not only that we can be forgiven, but what else? What's the good news here? Jesus came to rescue us, so that's good news. He came to die on the cross for our sins, so he died such a horrible death, and he had to die because there was no forgiveness of sins. There's no plan B. There's no option for us to be made right with God without the death of a perfect sacrifice, and Jesus is that perfect sacrifice. He took our place and died for us. But then, so that's good news, obviously, but there's even greater news that comes as a result of that. And that's in Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1 and also verses 3 and 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So John is getting this vision from the Lord about what's going to happen when Jesus returns. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer because the previous things have passed away. This is only possible because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and because of his resurrection from the dead to win the eternal victory. But again, the Bible's very clear. This only is true. We only have these promises to claim. We only have this hope of victory, this promise of victory, if we turn away from our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to turn away from our sins and believe and follow Jesus, or we have no eternal life. We have no forgiveness because he died for those who will call upon him. And we must call upon him or we receive no forgiveness of sins and thus no salvation and thus no promise of eternal life as we see in Revelation 21. Thanks for listening to Ask the Pastor today.